Hello and welcome to this week's Between Two Worlds with Pastor Alan Baker, the radio outreach ministry of Christ Community Presbyterian Church in West Hartford, Connecticut. On this weekly 30-minute broadcast, it's always our aim to challenge you and encourage you with the gospel of Jesus Christ toward eternal transformation, and to provide practical solutions for living in today's complex world. At the close of the broadcast, we'll share more about Christ Community and let you know about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, on this first weekend of October, Pastor Alan Baker delivers a message from the Book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles in the first century. He's asking the question, why do people shun Christianity? He says it's probably because they don't quite know what it is. So today the message is called The Difference Between Christianity and Religion on this week's Between Two Worlds.
I suggest one of the major reasons why people reject Christianity today is because they do not understand really what it is. Many people today seem to think that Christianity is merely one of many religions. We hear this quite a bit in our culture today. In other words, they'll say, well, Hinduism is a great world religion, and so is Christianity, so what's the difference? Or you might hear people say, well, I believe Buddhism has a lot to offer, and so I respect Buddhism, and I want to be a Buddhist and maybe bring in some of Buddha's teachings along with the teachings of Jesus. Or others today, of course, believe that Islam is another way to God. I remember a number of years ago, I had the privilege of being in Iran, involved in a religious dialogue with Shiite clerics. And these were rather liberal clerics, much to my surprise. And they at least told us that they believed that Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all were different pathways that led up to the one mountain of God. So even in Islam, there are some who hold that particular teaching. Then, of course, today we find Mormons, who many believe are sincere Christians. I would suggest, however, that Mormonism is not true biblical Christianity. As much as I respect the morality of Mormons, they deny the deity of Jesus. And if one denies the deity of Jesus, then what one is saying is that we can reach God on our own efforts, and they would therefore deny the need for his death on the cross. Then, of course, in many primitive cultures, we have what's called animism, spirit deities that somehow bring us closer to this God who's far out there away from us. So many people think that Christianity is just one of many religions. And let's be honest here. Some rightly note the problems that religion has caused in our world. Now, there can be no question about that, and Christians ought to acknowledge this. One of the major premises of the so-called new kind of atheists today, men like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, is based on this very premise. In other words, they would say, all religion is bad. Look at what it's done in our culture. Around the world, we need to get rid of all religion, whatever it might be. And let's admit it, religion has caused many, many difficult things. I read a book recently on the Crusades, the Roman Catholic Church's effort to take Jerusalem away from the Muslims around 1000 AD. And it was just a sordid affair. There can be no question about it. And I would never support what went on during the Crusades. So religion has caused problems like the Crusades. And then, of course, problems with the Inquisition. When the Spanish came into the New World, they would force the native populations to convert at the point of a sword. There's nothing good about that, and certainly we can reject that notion. Then, of course, even in our own part of the world, the Puritans, people I love and respect quite a bit, were nonetheless guilty of the Salem witch trials, this mania that gripped these people, and it was totally wrong, no question about that. Then, of course, we have today in many parts of the Muslim world, jihad, their holy war against the West and against infidels. And then, of course, we must also acknowledge that religious people on both the left and the right are involved in political action, which oftentimes is very unkind and cruel to people. And also, I think we need to freely admit that there has been hypocrisy among many who profess to be Christians. We don't have to go any further than some of the so-called television evangelists to see that that's true. And then, of course, as I often say, many pastors face what I call the preacher's minefield, women and money. Many a pastor has fallen from one of those two things. So clearly, we need to admit that there are problems with religion. But you see, I want to suggest that there is such a thing as true truth, and it is found in Jesus. In other words, what I mean is that there are, in fact, innumerable counterfeits. And I want to stress this. Religion is the greatest enemy of true Christianity. Religion is the greatest enemy of true Christianity. What is the difference then? What is the difference between religion and Christianity? Well, I want us to consider a story in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 25 and following, where the so-called Ethiopian eunuch is met by Philip on the Gaza Road as he's leaving Jerusalem. And this is quite instructive for us in this matter, because the Ethiopian eunuch was, in fact, a religious man. In verse 25, it says, "So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road.' And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah." Now, who was this man, this Ethiopian eunuch? Well, we know several things about him from the text I just read. First of all, we know that he was an African of great prominence. He was from Ethiopia, which today, of course, is just south of Egypt. It's in what we might call North Africa. At that particular time, Ethiopia spread in a much broader way than it does even today. But he was a man of prominence, and we know that because he was a court official of Candace. And we're told by Luke, the writer of Acts, that Candace was the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, one doesn't get to be in that particular position unless one is a very talented man. So he was a man of prominence, and he was a man of great talent. We also know from the text that he was an honest and moral man. He had great integrity. And we know this because Luke mentions that he was in charge of the queen's treasure. Now, we know that no one would ever knowingly put someone in charge of the treasure unless he was one who could be trusted. So he was an honest and moral man. Furthermore, we know that the Ethiopian eunuch was religious. Now, to be even more specific, he had become a Jew. We know this because he had been to Jerusalem to worship God. We also know at that particular time that Christianity had not yet spread to Africa. In fact, it appears that this man was the first convert to Christianity, but more about that later. But you see, he was a convert to Judaism, which means that he was seeking after truth. We also know that because he was an Ethiopian, and because the predominant religion at that time in Ethiopia was a form of paganism, what we might also call animism, that is, there are this belief system that there is a God, but he's way out there, far beyond us, and that the only way to reach him is through spirit deities, by sacrificing to these spirit deities, going through the witch doctrine, that sort of thing. And it's still prevalent in many parts of the world today. This had been the man's religion, but he had left that. He was a seeker after truth. Someone had told him about Judaism, and he pursued that religion. He went to Jerusalem, we're told, to worship God. We also know that he was very earnest in wanting to learn about his religion. We're told that he was in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah. At that particular time, the Bible was in scrolls. So he had a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he was reading it. So not only had he converted to Judaism, not only had he gone there to worship God in Jerusalem, but he was dead earnest, looking for the truth. He wanted to know what the scriptures teach. So he's poring over the prophet Isaiah. We also know that he was earnest because he took the less traveled road, the Gaza Road in the desert. And this tells us that he did not want to be bothered by other people on the road. He wanted to be able to focus his attention on truth. We also know that he could not wait until he got back to Ethiopia to read. He's reading in his chariot as he's on his way. So here's an earnest man, serious about his religion, a very religious man, honest, moral, a man of integrity, a talented man, a man of great prominence. Furthermore, we know that he was intelligent. He was well-read. And that's because most people in that day could not read at all. And he's reading the prophet Isaiah, which was no small task. It's also possible that this man was aware of Jesus. Jesus had died, had been raised again from the dead, and supposedly had ascended into heaven just a short time before this, maybe a few years before. And so no doubt Jerusalem was in an uproar. Some were very much pro-Jesus, and others were very anti-Jesus. Now, it's just speculation on my part, but probably this Ethiopian eunuch had heard of Jesus and maybe didn't know what to think about him. But he's on his way back. And we can certainly say here, and we should be able to admit that he was a great man. We should be able to admire his sincere, moral, prominent, well-read seeker of the truth. Maybe that describes you at this present time. Maybe you are moral. Maybe you are religious. Maybe you are well-read. Maybe you are a person of integrity. Maybe you're a person of prominence in the business world or the medical world or the educational world. And all of these things, of course, are fine. There's no problem with that at all. But I want you to know what happens next. I want you to notice in verses 29 and following that Philip is called by God to go and to meet this man. This is another thing that separates Christianity from all the other religions of the world. Christianity is supernatural. Supernatural. You'll find here an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is the desert road. And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace. We've read that earlier. But I want you to notice also, he goes on to say that this particular man, as Philip meets him, Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And then it says that the passage of Scripture that he was reading was from Isaiah. And it says, this is from Isaiah 53, and he was led as sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For this life is removed from the earth. For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this particular scripture, that is from Isaiah 53, going back, no doubt, all the way to Genesis, all the way through what we had at that time, which was what we now call the Old Testament, he preached Jesus to this man. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? So he ordered his chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. So, what happened with this man? Well, he began to realize that his religion was worthless. As far as right standing with God is concerned, he knew that he was lacking. It began to dawn on him. Again, he was seeking after truth, and he was not yet satisfied. He knew that something was amiss. Have you come to that place in your own life? Are you satisfied that you have a deep, vibrant relationship with Almighty God? Now, keep in mind, the Ethiopian eunuch was sincere. He was moral. He was earnest. But he came to see that this was not enough. He came to see his great need. In other words, he came to see that he was lacking the real thing. He had been a pagan, an animist. He had become a follower of the Jewish religion. He began to realize as he's reading Isaiah, as he's seeking an understanding of the truth, that he's missing something. He's not where he needs to be. You see, I want you to understand that he was a man of great learning, of prominence, of integrity, of morality. He had a religious life. And though these are good, and maybe this is what characterizes your life or describes your life, though these things are good, my dear friend, they are enemies of the best. You see, he came to comprehend through Philip's help what Isaiah was writing. In other words, he's saying, was Isaiah writing about himself or someone else? And Philip, because he had the Spirit of God upon him, was able to say, no, he's not talking about Philip. He's not talking about Isaiah. He's talking about someone far greater. And keep in mind that Isaiah was writing about 750 years before Jesus. And the book of Isaiah is chock full of prophetic words about the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so this Ethiopian eunuch, as Philip is preaching Jesus to him, comes to see his need of an atoning sacrifice. No doubt Philip explained to him, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. And this, of course, is a very clear picture of what the Lord Jesus experienced on the cross at Calvary. He was silent. He did not cry out. He was willing to suffer for us. Philip made this clear to this man, and supernaturally, by the work of the Holy Spirit, the Ethiopian eunuch's mind was opened, his heart was opened, and he believed on the gospel of the Lord Jesus. You see, he came to understand that sin separates us from a holy God. Why is it that we need a Savior? Why do we need an atoning sacrifice? Why is it that all of the religious activity in the world, though some of it might be noble, at the end of the day fails? It fails because people really don't understand the depth of their sin. They do not understand the awful reality of sin's enslavement, not only for them personally, but for their families and for the community and for the world. You see, we need a Savior. We need an atoning sacrifice because sin separates us from a holy God. What does this mean for you? You know, you might be a model citizen. Perhaps you're very moral. Maybe you are a regular church goer. Or maybe you embrace some form of spirituality. We see this quite prevalent today. Many today, while they despise the church and reject the church, and again, I can understand why that happens at times, they would still say that they admire Jesus and they like a lot of things about Jesus, but they want to combine the teachings of Jesus or the morality of Jesus with some sort of Eastern mysticism. And we see this in the movie, Julia Roberts' latest movie, Eat, Pray, and Love. Clearly she's trying to assuage her guilt over leaving her husband, and she's trying to find herself, and of course she goes to Italy, and then she goes to India, and then she ends up in Indonesia at Bali, trying to find herself, trying to find peace within, some sort of a spirituality of life. And maybe that's where you are. Well, if so, then you are like the Ethiopian eunuch. And my dear friend, even though you might be moral, you might be a fine person, one whom I'd like to have living next door to me, nonetheless, if this is your position, you still are dead in your sins. If this is your confidence and hope, my dear friend, you will be eternally and dreadfully disappointed. You see, religion is the great enemy of God. Well, what is a true Christian then? Maybe you thought you were a true Christian. Well, what is a true Christian? He has the very life of God in his soul. He is born from above by the work of the Holy Spirit. He knows he's a sinner, and that his sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ. He believes in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He believes that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again from the dead, that Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty this very moment. He knows that God's grace is greater than his own sin. He knows he still sins. That's not the issue. But he knows that God's grace is greater than his sin, and he begins to see progress in obedience to God. He knows that his life is in God's hands. Therefore, he can rejoice. Therefore, he does not need to worry or be anxious about what will happen tomorrow. He knows that God will receive him into glory at his death. And he has a growing, vital, personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, my dear friend, where are you? Are you like the Ethiopian eunuch, a good, moral, religious person? Or are you a true Christian? Well, if you're not sure, what must you do? Well, you must repent of your sins. This means you acknowledge that your views of God, of Jesus, and of yourself have been wrong, and you say, I want to do what God says. I want to submit myself to God. It means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not merely an academic, intellectual assent. But it means that you trust Him completely. Not your goodness, not your morality. You lay that aside. You trust Jesus. You say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe on you. I give my life to you. It means that you call upon Christ right now, right where you are. He promises that He will save you if you repent and believe His glorious gospel.
Pastor Alan Baker with the admonition to call out to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and a new life in Him, from the message entitled The Difference Between Christianity and Religion, taken from the New Testament book of the Acts of the Apostles from the 8th chapter, verses 25 through 39. The text for this week's Between Two Worlds, a radio outreach ministry of Christ Community Presbyterian Church in West Hartford, Connecticut. More of the church in just a moment. If you've wondered about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you've got questions about things you've heard today or in recent weeks on this broadcast, well, first of all, it's great to know you're listening. We'd love to field those questions from you. So if you can contact us by phone or email, we'll definitely get back with you. You can email us at radio@christcpc.org. That's radio@christcpc.org. Or you can call Pastor Al Baker directly at 860-748-5918. That's 860-748-5918. Whether you reach us by way of email or phone, we are happy to hear from you and to respond about, again, anything you've heard on this broadcast today or in recent weeks, or about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've enjoyed today's sermon and would like to hear it again, you can go to our website at ChristCPC, click the Sermons Online tab on the left, and you'll see this broadcast. It'll be called The Difference Between Christianity and Religion. You can right-click to download it or to listen, again, at ChristCPC.org. There's no cost or obligation to download this for use on your personal iPod or MP3 player. The Congregation of Christ Community Presbyterian Church, it's a culturally diverse church of singles, couples, and families from throughout Greater Hartford and beyond. We meet weekly for worship on Sunday mornings at 9:30 at the West Hartford Town Hall Auditorium. That's at 50 South Main Street in West Hartford. We're right next to Blueback Square. You can park in the municipal lot, bring your pass in, we'll validate it at no cost to you. There's nursery and explorers, a younger kids program, during the worship service. And then at 10:45, learn more about the church, meet those that worship with us, and we'd be happy to give you more information on Christ Community. You can go to our website at ChristCPC.org. There you can also learn about Pastor Baker's new book. It's called Seeking a Revival Culture. It's from Wiffenstock Publishers. If you enjoy his preaching, you'll definitely enjoy the book. It's a paperback and available at ChristCPC.org. Well, thanks for tuning in to this edition of Between Two Worlds, a radio outreach ministry of Christ Community Presbyterian Church in West Hartford, Connecticut. Tune in next Sunday morning at 7:30 as together we live between two worlds.